You are Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast on the Houston Rockets, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
James Harden just went 2 of 18 in a playoff game, and the Rockets won going away. On that incredible anecdote, welcome into a joyous post-game episode of Locked On Rockets, the only daily podcast covering the NBA's best basketball team by record this 2017 to 2018 season. I'm your host, Ben Dubose, Rockets correspondent with Sports Talk 790, the team's official flagship. What a Wednesday night it was at Toyota Center, somewhat the reverse of Sunday's Game 1, in which James Harden and Clint Capella were incredible, but especially James Harden with 44 points and the supporting cast just 3 of 25 from 3. Sort of the reverse on Wednesday night. James Harden, as I mentioned, just 2 of 18, but the supporting cast, incredible, led by Chris Paul, 27 points, 8 assists, 10 of 18 shooting in just 30 minutes. Great performance defensively from Clint Capella. Gerald Green with just a huge performance, 21 points, team best plus 27 off the bench, and the Rockets winning 102 to 82, going up a commanding 2-0 in this best of 7 series against the Minnesota Timberwolves. Game 3 is Saturday night in Minneapolis. There's a lot of angles you can look at. Certainly, we'll talk adjustments. We'll talk defense. We'll talk Chris Paul and Gerald Green throughout our normal 3 points recap. But I'm going to start with the importance of the Rockets winning without James Harden playing especially well. Yes, he had 12 points and 7 assists. But 2 of 18 shooting, it's not good. The Timberwolves clearly adjusted from Game 1 to Game 2. They stopped him in traffic more, and the 7 of 12 shooting from behind the arc, that wasn't really sustainable. He was just 1 of 10 in Game 2. So between the 3-point shooting cooling off and the Timberwolves shading more bodies to him on his drives, sometimes had 2 or 3 defenders in there. Also, it felt like the officials let them be a little more physical. He wasn't getting to the free throw line as much as he wanted. Got there just 8 times, although he did make 7 of those. That's part of how he had 12 points and 7 assists, even shooting just 2 of 18. But for the Rockets to win this game by 20, and they led by as much as 27, almost 30, despite James shooting just 2 of 18, I don't know if you will ever see a game that shows you why the 2018 Rockets are different from any other team in the modern era, in the modern Houston era I'm speaking to, with James Harden. Because if Harden had that kind of game in prior years, he would not have had the help. I won't say the Rockets had no chance of winning. Let's be real. The Timberwolves are an 8 seed. They're flawed. They're probably better than that with Jimmy Butler, but they're certainly not to the Rockets or Warriors level or even close, no matter what. So let's not make a mountain out of this. But the reality is that while the Rockets might could have made it a sloppy game and tried to win, you're certainly not going to win with style points the way they did. And you can point to the Chris Paul 27 points. You can point to Gerald Green with 21 off the bench. But really, the biggest factor in this was the defense. Timberwolves scored just 82 points, and the only reason they even got to 82 was because of 24 points in the fourth quarter. They actually had just 35 points combined in the second and third quarters. The Rockets started off the game very sluggishly offensively. They were down 22-13 after the first 10 minutes of the game. But what was most impressive about it, despite the fact the Rockets got nothing going offensively, that started a bad night for Harden from the field, they never even trailed by double digits because the defense stayed dialed in. Then it escalated, and then from about a minute and a half left in the first quarter to the 9:30 mark of the third quarter, just about 16 game minutes, the Rockets went on a 52-20 run, going from a 9-point deficit to a 23-point lead. That's what my buddy Karthik Prasad, you may know him better as Stanford KP on Twitter, also had him on my show here at least a couple of times at Lockdown Rockets, refers to as the turbo nuclear button, and all championship teams have it, and the Rockets showed it tonight. And perhaps the most impressive part of all, they did it even without James Harden playing a huge role in that stretch. Now let's give James some credit. He had 3 steals, he had 3 blocks. I thought James stayed very engaged, even on a night that he couldn't throw it in the ocean, he wasn't getting the calls he thought he deserved. I think maybe in prior years, it's a game in which James sort of slumps his shoulders, you see the body language not be ideal, and maybe he takes some plays off. In this game, defensively, he was always there, even if offensively, it wasn't that smooth. But for the Rockets, it wasn't just about Chris Paul, although that was important. It wasn't just about Gerald Green or any one player. It wasn't about the fact that they made more threes. 16 tonight with only one by James Harden added up, and the Rockets outside of Harden made 15 threes tonight. That's five times the amount they made in game one, when outside of Harden they made just three of 25. So lots of things for the Rockets tonight were much better. But overall, it wasn't about one player. It was about the energy they played with defensively in 16 game minutes, when on the 52-20 run, what is almost as ridiculous scoring the 52 points in that is limiting the Timberwolves to just 20 in nearly a quarter and a half. They scored just 35 points in the second and third quarters combined. It was an incredible defensive showing. And I would say, again, it starts with Clint Capela. Of your starters, he had your best plus-minus of plus 22. He didn't even have a double-double in this game. He had just 8 points, although he did make four of his six shots. Again, like in the second half of game one, you could see Minnesota adjusted, not giving him the high pick-and-roll game as much in terms of leaving him open for lobs. But, boy, Clint, in his 29 minutes, 16 rebounds, had a block, had a steal, had an assist, mentioned the 66% shooting in 29 minutes, and most impressively of all, limited Karl Anthony Towns, one of the most talented young bigs in the NBA, to just 5 points on 2 of 9 shooting. Minnesota, early in the game, it was a clear emphasis. They wanted to get Cat more involved. He got more shots, at least early in the game, but it didn't really lead to much better results. He actually didn't even score in the second half. Clint was dominant defensively, even though he didn't give you that much offensively tonight, I think in part because of how the Timberwolves chose to defend. Ultimately, he still had an enormous impact. I think he set the tone. I think you saw tonight why Clint Capela is so important to the Rockets, especially on the defensive end of the floor, because there's no one else that can do what he does. And then you factor in Trevor Ariza, P.J. Tucker, Chris Paul making their, as usual, great defensive contributions. I mentioned James Harden with 3 steals and 3 blocks. Gerald Green, I mentioned he had 7 rebounds in game one, which was a big part of why, even though he wasn't really making shots from three, he still had a positive impact. Tonight, in addition to his 21 points and 5 made threes, he had 12 rebounds in 26 minutes. The Rockets as a whole, defense, rebounding, they are bringing the energy. And that's why up and down the roster, yes, the presence of Chris Paul helps. We'll get to him more in a moment. But overall, it wasn't just about Chris or any one particular player. It was about the depth of the Rockets roster. And even in a night that James Harden went 2 of 18, they still won this game by 20 and really could have won by 30 plus if they hadn't called off the dogs and had the likes of Joe Cheech, Nanu Anuaku, and the end of the bench playing in the final few minutes of this game. It was a dominant performance by the Rockets, and nothing is over until it's over, but the Timberwolves are not going to beat the Rockets 4 times in the next 5 games. I think the Rockets made a clear statement, and ultimately, while I think they'd be satisfied to win this series in 5 games, there's a real shot that they could end it in 4, in my opinion, when you factor in that they're now 6-0 against the Timberwolves this season, and most of them have not even been close. There will be a lot of juice in Minneapolis on Saturday night because it's the first home playoff game they've had in over a decade. But other than that, the Rockets are clearly a superior team. I think that's been proven over the first 6 games of the Rockets and Timberwolves this year. And beyond that, beyond just this individual matchup, to see the Rockets succeed to this level with James Harden only going 2 of 18 from the field, it shows you why this is a team. As great as James Harden is, yes, he's the MVP. What's different about the 2018 Rockets is that it's not just James Harden. They have so many other different dimensions. Chris Paul, but more importantly than just Chris Paul, is the fact that they have been a top 10 defense all year, even a top 5 defense when they have had all their key parts. And by the way, the Rockets don't even have Luke Bamute right now. Consider that. The Rockets are playing this well defensively, and they don't even have Luke. Imagine what happens when he gets back. Overall, though, my takeaways is that the Rockets, as great as James Harden is, and he's the MVP lock for a reason, they're more than James Harden. And so to see this kind of upside in a game that he shoots 2 of 18, just imagine what happens when you have Harden clicking the way he was in game one and then the supporting cast with the energy, the defense, the shooting they brought tonight in the same game. And at some point over the course of the playoffs, it's going to happen. Prepare yourselves. That's why the Rockets won 65 games in the regular season, and that's why they entered the postseason as the NBA's title favorites. Yes, even over the Golden State Warriors. Now, I spent most of the initial segment here discussing the defense, because to me, none of this is about one player, other than maybe the fascinating juxtaposition of Harden going from 44 points and nearly 60% shooting in game one to 2 of 18 in the Rocket in game two, and the Rockets somehow winning by a significantly wider margin, which certainly shows you the importance of the Rockets as a team and the depth to which Daryl Morey has built this roster. Certainly that was on full display tonight. Mentioned the stat lines for Chris Paul, Gerald Green. Eric Gordon showed a little bit of life, plus 15 in his 29 minutes off the bench, made a couple of threes, 9 points. Trevor Ariza made 3 three-pointers, 15 points. Clint Capella, 8 points on nearly 70% shooting from the field. P.J. Tucker had a couple of threes, including one that should have been a four-point play. Unfortunately, he missed the free throw. Really, you could even say the Rockets should be better. They shot as a team just above 30%, 16 to 52 from three. So, as I said, wrapping up the first segment, the Rockets have not even played their best game yet. Imagine when both James Harden and the shooters are on their game on the same night, and the shooters were not even fully there tonight. In my opinion, it was mostly the defense that led to them being this dominant tonight. But on the offensive end of the floor, it was certainly led by a bounce-back showing from Chris Paul. 27 points, 10 of 18 shooting, 8 assists. He made plays off the dribble. He made his threes, made 3 of 5 from behind the arc, made all 4 of his free throws, led the team in points, led the team in assists. When Minnesota switched bigs onto him, he toyed with them, he finished in traffic, he did all the things he didn't do in game one, only turned the ball over one time. After having 6 turnovers in game one to just 4 assists, he had 8 assists to just 1 turnover in game two. Just an incredible showing that reminds you that this is the same Chris Paul who just 12 months ago in the first round against a great Utah team averaged 25 points and 10 assists on virtually 50% shooting from behind the arc in a 7-game playoff series against a really good team. Playoff CP3 is real. Game one was an aberration. They happened to everyone from time to time. Fortunately, game two reminded everyone of just how important he is, especially on this stage. So I think it was great to see Chris Paul get going. I don't know that he necessarily needed confidence given what he's done throughout his Hall of Fame career, but I think certainly for the Rockets, again, to see if they can have this kind of night, even with James Harden not playing especially well, it's a good reminder of why this team is in fact so different from the prior teams that last year, again, did not have nearly the defense and also not nearly the Chris Paul. And what it all comes back to me, when you evaluate both Game 1 and Game 2, what went right, what went wrong, we do want to be balanced on this show and discuss, as we mentioned, the Harden going 2 of 18, Paul on Game 1, the 6 turnovers, so just 4 assists, 5 of 14 shooting. You need to discuss the problems, but there's also a matter of what's sustainable and what isn't. Even in the playoffs, the sample size is large enough. You're going to have outliers, like what happened to Chris in Game 1 and James in Game 2. That happens. When you get concerned, are problems that could be larger than that. For example, the Rockets' defense without Luke Bamute, if that slipped, yeah, that would be a fair concern. Maybe the shooting without Ryan Anderson, although they still have enough shooters, even without Ryan. And by the way, Ryan, I saw him doing some pregame work tonight. He does look pretty good for Game 3 on Saturday night. My guess is he's ready to go in Minneapolis. Hashtag Road Rhino. Those types of things, defense without Luke, the shooting without Ryan, maybe the youth and inexperience of Clint Capella last year, the biggest stage he was on was that first-round matchup against Steven Adams. That was the biggest mano-on-mano matchup. And he got better in Game 5, but largely in that series, he did not give you what you wanted to see in the middle. Maybe if he didn't show up this series against Karl-Anthony Towns, of course, flip side, he's shown up and then some. He has dominated around the rim. His rim protection has been a huge part of what the Rockets have done on that end of the court, limiting the Timberwolves again to just 82 points in the 20-point Game 2 victory. Those are the types of things. If those go wrong, maybe you can worry about why the playoff Rockets are different from the group that was by far the league's best team over 82 games at 65 and 17. If your problems are Chris Paul underachieving or James Harden underachieving, 99% of the time, it's just a statistical outlier. There is nothing you need to worry about. Yes, it's annoying I get it, especially Sunday when they came very close to losing, in part based on the Chris Paul showing, although it certainly wasn't just him. Team as a whole shot just 3 of 25 from 3 outside of James Harden. But when you factor in what happens in a given game, it's not just about those 48 minutes. It's also about looking forward and projecting the predictive value. What is a concerning trend moving forward? And the good news for the Rockets in these two games, the things that have gone wrong are the things that really you're not going to have to worry about. Chris Paul is going to be just fine, as evidenced by what he did in Game 2. James Harden is going to be just fine, as evidenced by what he did Game 1 and the entire regular season when he's the MVP of the league. Bad games happen. It sucks, but this sport is really hard, especially in the playoffs when you're playing really good teams. Everybody's rested. Everybody's treating every game incredibly seriously. It sucks when they have a bad game, but ultimately the sample size is large enough, it's going to even out. Unless maybe you get into a Game 7 scenario, and then it might not. But if you get to a Game 7 scenario, especially in the early rounds, and you're a team like the Rockets, well, that's just your own fault. It's hard to blame anything else. But ultimately, when you're looking at the Rockets, especially in this kind of matchup, it's about sustainable problems and unsustainable problems. And the things that I worry about going into this series, worried is not the right term. I would say potential problem spots where you could convince me that, well, if this series went 6 or 7 games, how would it happen? Again, I want to mention the defense without Luke, maybe the shooting, and maybe less the shooting, but more just the minutes at the 5 without Ryan Anderson, if Nene was just repeatedly getting exposed, and they actually thought played pretty well, 4 points in his 12 minutes tonight. I thought he played decently in Game 1, especially early on as well, although ultimately I do expect those backup 5 minutes to end up going to Ryan once he returns, hopefully Saturday in Minnesota. Clint Capella in the middle against Karl Anthony Towns, based on what happened a year ago against Steven Adams. Those are the things that you might could convince me could be a problem. Chris Paul having a bad night in Game 1, James Harden having a bad night in Game 2. It sucks, but that stuff happens. It's not sustainable. So if those are your problems, those are really good problems. And ultimately, for the Rockets, that's where they're at. I suppose you could point to the three-point shooting. Eric, he did make a couple of threes, including one late. Hopefully he gets in rhythm. He was just 2 of 10. Mentioned Trevor Ariza earlier, just 3 of 10. Harden, 1 of 10, although he was 7 of 12 in Game 1. I think just overall it was a bad night for James. I suppose you could point to that, but ultimately there's enough sample on all of those guys. They're going to get going. I think Eric is a rhythm player, so you do want to see him get hot. That's why I point to his make later on. Hopefully he starts to feel better. Although I did see Eric attacking more off the drive a little bit tonight. Hopefully that helps. And in general, I feel like Eric's been better on the road. We'll have to see what happens this weekend. But in general, the problems for the Rockets' first two games of this season, or this series, they're good problems. They're the ones that are fixable. Because, yeah, just as you'd say after Game 1, the biggest problem was Chris Paul. Well, look what he did in Game 2. 27 points, 8 assists, both led the team, 10 of 18 from the field, and just toying with Minnesota down the stretch of the game. That's hashtag playoff CP3. That's the Chris Paul you acquired in the offseason, and that's why the Rockets, combined with James Harden as the MVP frontrunner over now 84 combined regular season playoff games, and a defense that, when healthy, has been +5, that's why the Rockets are the NBA title favorites, and I think they put it on full display tonight, all of those elements coming together, even on a night that James shot just 2 of 18 from the field. Third and final point of our 3 points recap, and I've mentioned him a couple of times already, but Gerald Green. Look, he was a team best +27 in his 26 minutes, and the defining stretch of the game, in my opinion, was early in the second quarter when they flipped what was a 9-point deficit late in the first to a lead that ended up being, well, 23 early in the third, but by halftime it was 15. Just an incredible run by the Rockets. Overall, they won the second quarter 37-17. Gerald had 12 points in that second quarter, 21 in the game, but 12 points, 4 threes. His energy, it picks up the team. It picks up everything in Toyota Center. He is a fan favorite for justifiable reasons. He is Mr. Houston on and off the court. We've documented that well all year long. But beyond just his shooting, and by the way, I do think it's great. He shot 5 of 12 from the field. Go back to the first quarter. He actually missed his first two threes. Neither of them was even close. But he kept shooting. That's a big thing for this Rockets team. You can occasionally see guys, especially Ryan, for example, but occasionally Eric as well, who get a little tentative after seeing their first couple of shots miss. Gerald didn't get tentative, and boy, was he rewarded tonight. But beyond just his shooting, because yes, we know he can catch fire in a hurry, look at his work on the glass in this series. 7 rebounds in game one, then 12 in 26 minutes in game two. He actually matched his game one output of 7 rebounds, well above his season-long numbers, in just the first half on Wednesday night in game two. And then, of course, you combine that with Capella's 16, and even with Minnesota being a fairly physical, bruising team with the likes of Karl-Anthony Towns, Taj Gibson out front, the Rockets won the rebounding battle again. So the Rockets won this game on so many levels, certainly offensively the creation of Chris Paul, the shooting of Gerald Green, but defensively, that was where they really made their biggest strides. And Gerald, yeah, he brings you a lot offensively. It's funny to even think back a month or so ago when we were debating whether Gerald Green would be in the playoff rotation. He is there to stay. He brings them so much energy, and you think of it offensively, it's always nice if you have a guy who can make 3 or 4 threes in about a 3-minute span. Certainly it can make you, I would say, combustible. It can make you blow up the way the Rockets did tonight with 52 points in that 52-20 run in just 16 game minutes, and that's a great quality. But defensively, his energy is infectious. Yes, from time to time, he gets beaten. I understand that. But 12 rebounds, 9 of them defensively, also had a key block on Derrick Rose in that big run for the Rockets tonight. Team best plus 27 in his 26 minutes. That goes beyond just making a few threes offensively. That's energy he brings on both ends of the court. And even defensively, while Mike D'Antoni said before, he's certainly not going to be an impact defender, he brings you enough that he provides value there as well. And then combine that on a night that he is making his threes, yeah, he is in this playoff rotation for good, in my opinion. Joe Johnson, he had a nice shot tonight. Actually, Joe made just the one bucket, but was plus 6 in the 16 minutes. Everybody played well tonight. But Gerald, he's clearly moved ahead of Joe, and at times tonight, he even seemed to be ahead of Eric in the rotation. I can remember in the second quarter when they brought back Harden, Ariza, and Tucker, and Gerald Green and Nene were the only two Rockets that stayed out there with the prior group that went on that run. Gerald Green has earned a lot of trust for Mike D'Antoni, and offensively, yes, his ability to heat up. He had a couple of drives in the second half, too, I thought were very important. He made the 4 threes early on. That was all the shooting. Second half, they closed out stronger, so he did show that he had the athleticism to take it to the rim and lay it in or even dunk it in one case. So that's great to see. But beyond what he does offensively, because we know he can catch fire on that end, defensively, while he's certainly not going to be in isolation a great defender, he provides you enough energy that overall, I think, as far as his contributions to the team as a whole and what they're doing collectively on that end, I still think he can benefit you, especially in certain matchups. And I think this Minnesota one, now the Rockets being 6-0 against them this season, would certainly appear to be one of those. One final note for the Rockets. I've spent a lot of time talking about them as a team throughout this podcast. Let's not be oblivious as to what else is happening around the NBA. As far as the playoffs that are not directly related to what's going on at Toyota Center or in Minnesota this weekend, in my opinion, even though they got a little bit of a shaky draw, it looks like Golden State's going to have an easy draw through San Antonio in round one. We'll have to see what 6-seeded New Orleans can do in round two, because after winning both games at Portland, game one and game two, it certainly feels like New Orleans is the big favorite there. Is New Orleans really good enough to push Golden State? We'll have to wait and see, although they are playing well now. The good news, the Rockets initially seemed that they got a bit of a bad draw, with Utah and OKC being the 4-5 and the Rockets having to play the winner. But the best you could hope for would be to have a long, grueling series. So for Utah to win game two after losing game one, tie it at 1, going back to Utah, that's the best case scenario. I think really in an ideal world, I think I'd rather play Utah than Oklahoma City. I've said it before. I just don't think they have enough playmaking potential to beat the Rockets. But either way, I think more than playing either team, what you truly want more than anything is for those teams to have to go through 6 or 7 grueling, high-stress, high-leverage games while the Rockets get done in 4 or 5 games against Minnesota without too much stress. And through 2 games, that's exactly what's happening. Could have used a little bit better luck in Cleveland, the Cavs tying that series at 1. But ultimately, I still think the Pacers feel pretty good about where they're at, because the Pacers won game 1 convincingly. In game 2, the Cavs had to have it, and they only won by a whopping 3 points at home. And now the series shifts back to Indiana, tied at 1, Pacers having home court. And now we'll have to see what happens to Kevin Love following his hand injury. The reason I mentioned that series is the Eastern Conference, but let's be real, we're aware of the context. Cleveland loses in round 1. it's hard to see a scenario where they keep LeBron James, and so that puts the Rockets even more in the mix a couple of months from now should Cleveland lose early in the postseason. Of course, that's clearly a secondary priority now. What matters to Rockets fans in the next 2 months is this team that is in Houston right now. I'm aware of that, so the good news, the Rockets are up 2-0, 102-82 win in Game 2, and even better than that, Utah to Oklahoma City, the winner of which would play the Rockets, assuming Houston advances in Round 2. They are tied at 1 in what appears to be poised for a long, hard-fought series between the Thunder and the Jazz. So on that note, I believe we can wrap this episode, hashtag take note, in the case of the Jazz. You won't often see the Rockets cheering for Utah, but I think this is, and especially Rockets fans, but I think this is an exception to the rule for the reasons I just laid out. Anyway, we'll have more coverage of Game 2 in a couple of days. This is just my immediate thoughts. I will look at the film tomorrow. I'll try and line up an interview or two before Saturday's Game 3 as well to get some extra perspective. But for now, this will do it for tonight's show. You want even more content from me in the hours ahead? Best place to do it is on Twitter. I'm at Ben Dubose, BenDubose. The show is at Locked On Rockets, at Locked On Rockets on Twitter. And of course, you can always email us, lockedonrockets@gmail.com. Questions about the team, suggestions for the show, advertising inquiries. We've got a very booming business model these days, as well as the Rockets are playing. So if you want to reach that audience, I'd absolutely love to hear from you. Again, lockedonrockets@gmail.com is the best place to reach out to me, and I can get you in touch with the advertising reps. We did some really great rates and specials for this NBA playoff run, of course, here at Locked On Rockets, but also across the Locked On Podcast Network, because we've got a lot of great content, local coverage of all 16 teams in the playoffs. So if you want to hear the Timberwolves side, you can listen to Locked On Timberwolves, hosted by Colton Molesky, or you can search for Locked On anyone across the NBA and NFL. We've also got a lot of MLB shows, not quite the Astros yet, but we're getting there, so stay tuned. Lots of great coverage across the Locked On Podcast Network, so I appreciate you guys tuning in for me, and if you want even more than that, then certainly search Google Play, iTunes, Stitcher, Megaphone, wherever you listen to our podcast, at Locked On Rockets, you can, and subscribe to us, by the way, hint. That's how we remain viable to advertisers, besides you guys advertising yourselves, well, the five-star reviews, the listener figures, those help as well. But those same sources, you can also find the other shows as well. So if you've not given them a try, then I encourage you to do that in the NBA playoffs. Or you can search for Locked On Texans. That's their sister show here in Houston. Texans going up for the NFL draft next week. Lots of great things happening in Houston. The Astros seem to have snapped out of their funk. Texans approaching the draft. The Rockets now up 2-0 in the first round. And the Locked On Podcast Network has you covered on so many of those angles. So once again, the happy final from Toyota Center Wednesday night. Rockets 102, Timberwolves 82. Rockets up 2-0 in the best of 7 series. Game 3 in Minneapolis on Saturday night. We'll talk more in the next couple of days. We'll see what I can do on the interview front. And also, I'm going to watch the film again, see if there's anything that stands out that I did not see the first time around. But until then, as always, thanks to y'all for listening. I appreciate you so much for tuning in on a daily basis here at Locked On Rockets, the only daily podcast covering the NBA's best basketball team. How sweet it is, what a great result for the Rockets, and, well, have a good night, Houston.